Hi, my name is Peter Kofler. I'm the code cop, so obviously I'm fanatic about clean code. But today I want to talk about coded read facilitation techniques, or in general, some tips how to run hands-on sessions. Today I have a special guest, Lizzy Hocke is here. Hi, Lizzy.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining, Lizzy. So Lizzy is a well-known tester, aspiring developer, and a keynote speaker.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I see that you're doing a lot of mob programming facilitation, or what would be the right name when you're like help a team or a group to be an efficient mob? How do you call this role?
Well, I'd say also a mob facilitator, or maybe giving mob introductions. In the end, it's more of getting teams up to speed to show them, okay, what is recommended in the beginning to provide the frame where they can try themselves out and try this new approach, reflect on it, give some first pointers, what is important when working in a mob. The goal is always, when introducing this format, to get them up to speed as soon as possible so they can help themselves further.
So how would you do that? Like, what do you do? How would you, how do you facilitate? How do you start this mob? I know that like mobbing is getting more and more popular, and also people want to try it on coded read sometimes. So there's sometimes even a session that's dedicated on mob, and the whole group would form a mob if the group is small. So like, how could we start that in a good way with people that have never done that?
So one thing that proved quite successful is, and I keep doing it therefore, is that I start with a very brief introduction in that case. So I have usually a flip chart pinned on the wall with a few basic drawings and concepts on it, not much. And I spend the first 3-4 minutes just going through these very basic principles. So what are the roles in a mob? How is this whole process going? How frequently do we rotate? Something like that. But also, what are the underlying principles that will help us succeed in a mob when it comes to collaborating well together? And that's normally enough to kick it off. Sometimes people have maybe 1-2 questions. But the thing is, they have to try it out as soon as possible. And then more questions will come, and then they get a feeling for how is it really working. And usually that's being picked up very quickly.
Okay. So basically you were saying you are spending one time slot, like 4 minutes in explaining these roles. As far as I understand, there's like a navigator, maybe there's a driver. No, there's always a driver. Maybe there's a navigator, and then there's a group. And then you just let them roll and see what's happening.
Yes, so normally I start off with navigating, so they get a first feeling and sort of a template to start from. And usually there's also the one person maybe who did it before already, or who, you know, is really eager to try it out and wants to be the next navigator. So, you know, listening to the atmosphere in the room and seeing the audience, it is quite successful here to decide how's the rotation going to look like. But basically that's it, and they're going to roll, and whenever they see, okay, now's a good time to provide a new insight or a tip how they can solve this kind of challenge they might currently have, then I'll just stop them up shortly, explain it, and let it continue, or maybe even step in as a navigator shortly. But it's rather useful also to navigate the navigator in that case.
Yeah, so you always like keep your role as kind of a team coach, something like that. So you're not really participating, but like navigating the navigators. It's meta, helping.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And usually, I mean, if the mob already got a good feeling for this whole process, and also regarding the topic they're working on, they can roll on their own. So my goal is always to keep silent as soon as possible and let them help themselves, because that's one of the benefits also of having all those brains in and people working together, that even if they're working, for example, with a different keyboard layout. Let's say my keyboard is normally German, so when I'm on an international conference, some people might struggle. And my operating system is also in the language German. But there was always the one person who knows how to translate, how to look for, and could help each other out. And that's just one basic example how it can happen also with a lot of different topics. So usually the group is very capable and also realizes, oh, we actually can help ourselves pretty well. And if that happens, well, my job is done, right? But some groups also might struggle. May it with how they should now work together. Is it now okay to ask a question as a driver? These kind of uncertainties. And here my job as a facilitator is to observe, to jump in, to help them out. But yeah, I really want to stay back as soon as possible and rather note down my silent observations for a later debrief to help them reflect, okay, what really happened? How could we improve that even further? As I said, usually the mob can help themselves very well.
Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing.
Quite interesting dynamic.
Let's look at another thing. So when you're looking for a pair facilitator, what are you looking for?
That's a good question. So far, I was quite happy with the ones that just naturally evolved because of the topic we paired on, or the topic of the workshop, because normally people got interested and they wanted to help out and they were intrigued in sharing their knowledge. So if I would now be in the position to choose a person as my pair, I would love to see them passionate about the topic, passionate about knowledge sharing, and also realizing this is also helping our personal growth, right? I mean, if we share knowledge, it also helps our personal growth to become better at what we do, because we have to really understand the things before we can teach them, and also better at communication, at facilitation. This is all things that where we can grow personally. So the passion for these topics for me is really important, and this willingness to learn and grow. It also helps, in addition to that, if a pair is also reliable and you know, well organized. It makes it just easier.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's really cool, because I would have said totally different things. And I might answer the question on my own in a later episode. Yeah. But that's already showing the power of pair facilitation, right? That we have, like,
yes,
what you said, we have two people and we have two minds and total different approaches.
Yes.
Yeah, that was awesome. And we are way over time, which is also awesome. That's really all for the day. Thank you so much, Lizzie. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here.
So I'm Peter Kofler. And as always, I wish you luck with your next code retreat or whatever it is, because hands-on sessions are awesome and we just need more of them.